Well, I'd like to hold your attention at least 5 or 10 minutes. So I'm going to give you my title right off. So you, well, maybe we better listen for a minute or two, right? So my title is Issues and Wives. Yes. Issues and Wives. How about that? You know, how important are issues that come up? And we're basically talking about husbands and wives, but also the basic principles would apply to anyone here. Say, well, I'm not married, and I'm not planning on getting married. But still, these are things that would apply to just relationships with people in general also. But to think about how important are the issues that come up. You know, in a marriage, these things come up, you know, disagreements about different things. And then later you think, well, how important was that? Was it important enough to actually have an argument about it? You know? Was it that important? Or maybe it was just a matter of pride. And of course, when you want to have your way, you know, you kind of enjoy making people feel a little bit inferior or inadequate. Or do you enjoy cheering up people, making someone feel good? Now, if there's anybody that you want to make feel good, it's your wife. Yes, that's a win thing. You want to make her feel good. You want to make her feel happy. And I have some experience in that. But we don't always want to do that. We want to kind of hang on. Well, this is the way I would like to have it, and this is the way it's going to be. You know, I'm the man, right? Wrong. No, you are the man. If you're the husband, hopefully you're the man. If you're the husband, you never know. But in this building, we're going to assume the husband is the man, okay? When you leave here, you go whatever. And you know, sometimes it really makes you feel good to make someone feel inferior. I mean, that just feels pretty good, doesn't it? Especially if you can really get one on your wife, you know. Really put her in her place, you know. She needs to know where she needs to be, you know. Basically what we, in the old days, she needs to be over a hot cook stove and pregnant. I mean, that was the ideal wife, right? Well, that's not the right ideal wife. Just because sometimes superiority makes us feel good. And it's a shame, but sometimes we hurt the most precious people in our life. You ever notice that? Most precious people we will hurt. I mean, how many times do you hurt your neighbor or your someone at work? But how many times at home have you hurt the most precious person in your life? If you're a husband, who's that? It's your wife. That's who it is. It's your wife. That's the most precious person. And so if you are a husband, or you think you might be a husband someday, well then, can you think of two things that a husband is commanded to do? Can you think of just two things? There's a whole lot of them. It's like at work, the guys have to tell us an abnormal operating condition out in the field. Well, there's about 300 of them. There's too many of them. They can't think of any. If there was just five, they would know them. They stare there like, you know, of course they know it. But two things, these two things that I'm thinking about, that your command, that a husband is commanded to do. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 24. So you've probably thought this out by now, and you know what those two things are. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. Now here at the beginning, if you look at verse 1, it says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found something unclean. Not just because he wanted to change wives, but here's a matter of something unclean. This could involve any number of things, but actually a deception. And as he noticed, it says to write a bill of divorcement. In other words, make it efficient. You can't just decide, okay, I'm through with you, baby. Get to the curb. No, this has to be thought out and made. But let's look at verse 5. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall, now it says a new wife. So guys, don't start thinking you're going to get another new wife. But this is like, you know, you've just gotten married. You got a new wife. He shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. Now, in the Adam Clark commentary, it says in there that Alexander, you know, the great general, he ordered that those who married that year to spend the winter with their wives, where maybe at times the soldiers in the winter, when it wasn't war time, the good time to fight, and they maybe be in garrison or barracks. But if they're married that year, they spend that winter with their wife. Yeah. I know some, I only can think of one guy that can spend a year on a honeymoon. But I mean, they're rare. Now, I won't mention any names, but you know, that's pretty rare. But even all winter, that's a pretty good honeymoon, you know? But that's, Alexander had that much wisdom. He knew that the guys, that it was important for the guys to spend that first time with their wife. So anyway, it says, let's continue on. Charged with any business, he shall be free at home 1 year and bring what? Happiness. And some translations say, cheer up his wife, whom he has taken. How many times do we think about that? Do we cheer up our wife? If we do, she should be smiling a lot. Right? She shouldn't be here, you know, with just stressed and just feel, you know, drawn. No. But it says that he was to bring happiness to his wife. So, I mean, that's obvious. That's one thing we should be doing. So do you enjoy cheering up? Or making her feel inferior or inadequate. And you know, everybody makes mistakes. So when they make a mistake, which way are we going to go? We going to cheer up over it? Or are we going to hammer it a while? Well, I've been telling you that, you know, you're going to do that. I've been telling you that, you know, that that's wrong. And, you know, we can take two different routes there. So why would you want to cheer her up? Well, because you love her. If you really love your wife, wouldn't you want to cheer her up? Or if you do love your wife, really, if you really do, wouldn't you want to cheer her up? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 5. You know, Proverbs chapter 5. Two too many times husband and wife get in this competition of who can kind of put the other one down the most. Well, yeah, he does this, you know. He's always that way. She always says that, you know. She never gets that right, you know. She hasn't made a good biscuit in 20 years. I know, she's never made a biscuit, right? That's old school stuff. I remember when my sister, one of my sisters got married, her husband said, I always have biscuits every morning. So she's going to go make biscuits. Well, she wasn't really a biscuit maker, okay? Because he's used to mama's biscuits. You know how good they are, or maybe you don't. If you ever had mama's biscuits, they're fantastic. Wife's biscuits, who knows? You don't have it. Anyway, she made the biscuits, but they were so messed up, you couldn't get them out of the pan. She finally threw the whole pan away. I don't know what she did. Because she was quite, this particular sister was quite a tomboy. She did everything outside. She milked the cows, she got the cows, she rode the horses, she got the cattle. My other sister was in the house. She loved to cook, and she could do all those skills. This particular sister just never got into cooking, and then she marries this cowboy that wants biscuits every morning. Well, she had it coming. They only knew each other 2 weeks before they got married. But they stayed married for till he died, you know, like 30 years or so. So it was okay. But he wasn't the type of guy that I'm not want to make him sound like he was just a bad person. He wasn't. He just laughed about it, and you know, it was fine. But he did like biscuits. So Proverbs 5. So, guys, if you like biscuits, maybe you could have her, if you're thinking about this woman, well, would you bring some biscuits to potluck? You know, this, just want to, you know, kind of innocently give it a trial. Proverbs 5, verse 18. Okay, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Oh, there it is again. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I just don't see that a lot. Maybe it's the kind of people I'm around. I just don't see men rejoicing with the wife. And that is so sad. I mean, that is really sad. That really makes me sad. I see it at work. I see guys, they start talking about their wife. Hey, I don't want to hear it, and I'll tell them. I don't want to hear it, you know. I don't want to hear that. Verse 18, to rejoice as a loving deer and a graceful doe. I mean, does your wife feel that way? Do you make her feel like a loving deer and a graceful doe? You ever looked a deer in the eye? I mean, that, you know, that would melt an iceberg. You know, a loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. You don't need to be checking out all the others, right? And always be enraptured with her love. And this chapter's starting out. Warning, basically young men who are going out, they see this beautiful woman, they're being enticed in to commit sin. Well, he's just saying don't be, excuse me, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? All that happens. It can happen at work. It can happen any number of ways. But notice it says, be faithful and rejoice. That rejoicing is so much that it seems that so many times that's not just not there. But my thesis, or SPS, is love your wife and cheer up your wife. That sounds pretty simple. I mean, two things. Love your wife and cheer up your wife. If you feel like you can't do that, then better not be married. Okay, until you feel like you can do that. You can love your wife and you think you'll be able to cheer her up? Think about it before you make that step. And all of us who's made that step and totally have been falling on our face, you know, there's always time to change. There's always time to stop and think, is my pride really worth it? Is it really worth it to win every issue or any of the issues that come up? Mostly. I remember my wife said, we're going to get dust pneumonia in here. Would you help dust? So I don't want to say what I said, but I'll give you this the overview. Look, I don't mind dusting, but all these things on here, these statues and chickens and stuff, I can't dust all that. If you get rid of them, I'll gladly dust the house. Okay, what could I have done? I could have said, Sugar Plum, I'll do this little section here, this little entryway, and I'm going to dust that, okay? And then another time, I'll take another area. And you know, that would have cheered her up. But what I said didn't cheer her up. I mean, she's about to get dust pneumonia, according to her. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't think we was getting dust pneumonia. But I think that was just a way, if you knew my wife, of just saying, hey, get the dust in the house, okay? She was trying to be nice. So she put it that way. Okay, love your wife and cheer her up. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and start looking at it this way, maybe. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Yes. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 1, I'll just read verse 1 here. Notice what it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, I think I'm in the right place, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, I'll need to go on over. Some reason that's not the one I wanted, but it will do. I'll see what the next verse says. But my point is, sometimes as men, we might forget that we're both dear children. Both of us. Not just the man. You know? Say, his wife is a child of God just like the man. We haven't noticed it. What I'm pointing is, you have to stop and think. We both have the same father and the same mother spiritually. We have our spiritual father. My spiritual father, my wife's, is the same father. You know how a father looks after their children? You know, because we're no longer bound to our physical parents. Let's see if I'm in the right book. See what verse 31. It says, for this reason, but I want to go back to verse 30. For we are members of his body. We are members of his body. Sometimes, maybe this is really old school stuff. The man, you know, he's a spiritual one. And he's the, you know, he's really spiritual. and he knows the best, and the woman, well, she just needs to just do what he says. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's the whole attitude. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Okay, we're members of his body. That's both. That's a husband and a wife. We got the same father. And then what does it say? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. Because we're no longer that part of that family. We're becoming a family. We both have the same father now. Yes. Reason a man shall leave his father and mother, because now we're of a different family, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what does it say in verse 32? This is a great mystery. But what? Great mystery of marriage is Christ in the church. Marriage pictures Christ and the church. So we got to think about how does Christ treat the church? Nevertheless, each one of you particular to love his own wife, how? As himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's kind of like if a husband's going to love his wife as himself, he's probably going to be respected. But it means that now we're no longer bound to those physical parents. You know, no longer is, you know, well, why can't you be like my mother? She did this or she did that, you know. No. We don't want to go there. But we are to, is verse 33, we're to love them as ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. And, I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's not that easy. It's just not easy that easy at times with the male mentality of, you know, I'm going to take care of this. I can handle this. And just get out of the way, woman, because I'm going to take control here. So my first point is that we are heirs together, and I've been talking about that, because we have the same father. We have the same father, don't we? Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. It seems if we could keep that in mind, that maybe it would help us out a little bit as men to remember that we're heirs together. The wife is not going to ride our short tails into the kingdom of God. No, wives are going to have their relationship with God, and the husband also, but we have the same father. We're in the same family now. Galatians 3, verse 26. I believe it's where I want. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, faith in his sacrifice, in his resurrection. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ as put on Christ. Notice in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. We're both in this together. Husband and wife, we're both children of God. Neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And in verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're all one in Christ. Your wife and you are on the same team. And under the same authority. So anytime we have issues, that involves God. Yeah. Because he is our Father. If we start having issues, then God is going to be involved. If we're here today, if we've been called by God, when we have issues, we're God is going to be involved. So we are heirs together. Let's look at Romans, if you would, chapter 8. In verse 15, Romans 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, or Father. That includes both of us. Back, I don't know, years ago, you know, like 50 years ago, I kind of had a different impression. Well, you know, I'm the one really in contact with God, and I'm close to God, and I'm going to have to bring this woman along. You know, I'm just going, I'm going to sacrifice the time and try to bring her along so she can get in the kingdom, so she can be praying and studying and thinking about God and obeying God, and, you know, checking her out and be sure she's doing the right thing. And I don't know. My wife tells about her neighbor. We were quite young. We weren't even in church then. So, see, I'm justified in whatever I did because I wasn't coming. It was all good. I was a great guy. And her neighbor was talking, and her neighbor, her friend about her age, smoked. And she told my wife, you know, if you smoke, you probably won't put on weight. So my wife gets back cigarettes, and she puts them in the closet and hides them. And she says she cannot figure it out. I come in from work, I go to the closet and find those cigarettes. Saying to me, hey, I'm the man, look here. I caught my wife with cigarettes. I don't know why that happened either, why I even did it. I don't know. But you never know when God's working with someone, he may have actually been trying to save my wife from a horrible habit that she would have had a terrible time of ever breaking. You know, but that is just a strange thing. Okay, Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again, but you are crying, Abba, Father. They're, you know, he's our Father, husband and wife. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, verse 17, joint heirs. See, we're not going to be carried in by one another. We're joint heirs. And we can certainly help one another. And, you know, we can study together. We can pray together. You know, we can pray for each other and do these wonderful things. If we keep in mind that we are actually heirs together, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. And that's a great comfort, you know, that when you were glorified, you know, my wife's gone, many of you, but we're going to be glorified together. And we're not going to be coming up as, you know, I'm superior and you're something else, because God has to work all that out. But, you know, we are God's children. So I think we're children of God, we're heirs together. And we got to remember that God doesn't favor one over the other, but he wants us to each fulfill our role, which the Father and Christ, they're actually overseeing. You know, if we're involved with God, he's called us. And if we're a called pair, even if we're not, if only one, you know, we'll maybe talk about that, that by our conduct, we can influence the mate that's maybe not being called at this time. So Christ and the Father oversee us, and we're both. He doesn't have a favorite there as far as a husband or a wife. We're one body. Let's look at Ephesians again, chapter, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. I mean, if we could just do that, with all lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, that takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? Bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, the bond of peace. How great that is to have a bond of peace. In order to have that bond of peace, I think he's saying that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that would involve being patient, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Notice verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we don't all have the same gift, but we are all in the same family, husband or wife. You know, God doesn't favor husband or the wife above the other, but he wants us to fulfill our role, which Christ and the Father oversee. And then going over to verse 1 of Ephesians. Was I in Ephesians 4? I intended to be. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And that's where we are. We, you know, we're one body. Lowliness, gentleness. In other words, we're in, as a husband and wife, we're in the same boat. Maybe somebody's paddling and somebody's steering, but we're in the same boat. And we need to keep that boat afloat and keep it moving. And we can't decide that we're going to do something different than that. No, we are in the same boat there. So, husbands, love your wife. Our next point is, husbands, love your wife. All of you guessed that one from the beginning, I know. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So what is a husband supposed to do? I think I want to read verse 23 also. Let's see what it says there. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And what is he? He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be in their own husband and everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So how did he love the church? He gave himself for it. Words, he gave up. That's how he loved the church. He gave himself for it. And that word gave means like to surrender and to yield up. Do you have to win every issue or any of the issues? You know, I mean, you think, well, I'm not winning any of them. But when I say issues, I'm talking about issues. I'm not talking about adultery or something like that. I mean, that's a major issue, and you have to get help. I'm talking about the issues that arise between a husband and wife. Like I've said many times, you know, the speed limit's 55. Okay, I'm doing 65. Okay, what can I do? I got choice now, Kenna. I can make an issue out of it. If she's uncomfortable at 65, why don't I drive 55? No, because I'm the man and I've got some pride here and I know what speed limit is. I'm experienced and I want to take my 5 or my 10, whatever it is, and I'm going to drive 65. So I can make an issue out of it. Or I can yield up. You know, in other words, why would I want to make my wife uncomfortable? Anyway, if the speed's making her uncomfortable, well, I'm not cheering her up very much. You know, matter of fact, I'm doing the opposite, causing stress. So, you know, surrender, yield up. What did Christ say? He said he came to serve. That'd be in Mark chapter 10. I don't think I need to turn there. Verse 42, 46. Son of man came to serve. So what's the husband? It says, as Christ loved the church, so let the husband love his wife. So we know what Christ did. And when I say that, I don't mean to take over your wife's role. You know, well, honey, I'm just going to do it all. And you just go there and sit in the recliner. I'm going to cook supper. I'm going to do the laundry. It's ridiculous. I don't even know how to do laundry. I mean, I've learned. But it's not that I maybe should have been doing the laundry. But it's just it wasn't necessary, you know, for me to do it. So I didn't do it. So I don't want to, you don't want to step over and take over the wife's role. Well, honey, you know, you're not that good at making biscuits, but my mama taught me how, so I'm going to take over the oven. Okay. I'm just saying, don't get over in her lane because there's going to be a crash, right? Stay in your lane. Let her stay in her lane and you just go along together and you help each other as you need it. You know, stay where you need to be. In verse 29, Ephesians 5, no one ever hated his own body. Now let's go up to 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Oh, man. To love as our own body. Well, we get pretty protective about our own body. Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it this way. But he who loves his wife loves himself. Because she can make it pretty miserable for you if you're not, you know, if you're not loving her. I mean, you know, there's ways. So you're not loving yourself if you're not loving your wife. In verse 29, what's it say to do? No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. What does it mean to nourish? It means to cherish it. To cherish it. I mean, you know, how could we nourish her? You know, by cheering her up. By doing things that would give her relief or joy or peace. You know, peace could be simply, okay, the issue is, but that's okay. I can handle that. You know, if it's that important, you know, we need to think about that. But to nourish and cherish it just as the Lord does the church. So, what are we? Verse 26. I want to go back to verse 26. Maybe I already read that. Yeah. Wives to their own bodies. Verse 27, continuing on. Oh, verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That in verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. That's what Christ did. He did whatever it takes to help the church, that it will be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, you know, do we want to cause someone to become offended and actually could become bitter because of the way the husband is handling his wife? Especially if he says, well, God says that I'm the head of the house and this is the way we're going to do it, woman. And you just get ready to take it. And by the way, bring me my slippers. You know that? I was a teenager, a friend of ours, the girl's mother, the dad called her Toad. Yeah, that's what he called her, Toad. A Toad, bring me my slippers. You know, Toad, I need some coffee. She's going there. Here's coffee. Here's slippers, you know. Wow. I know that sounds like paradise, but it's not that good. Okay. No, because I know the whole story. It's not that good. Toad turned into a leapfrog. So. So I tell you, you know, not just, this isn't just a male church. It's a male and female. Or the church. And I don't know why I keep saying that, but it seems like there was something there in my mind that somehow the men were the godly ones and they just had a little more spiritual ability than the women. And I don't know how that got grained in my, you know, we came in church way back in the 60s. I don't know if there was something there that got me thinking, but you know, that's not, it's just not a male church. Male and female are the church. That is the church, the body of Christ, male and female. Christ gave himself up. He surrendered. He yielded up for that church. You know, is it going to hurt us to yield up? I mean, I know there's situations where just, you know, common sense, godly sense, going out and say, no, we just can't do it that way, dear. You know, we just can't. Are we prepared to do that when issues arise? You know, pride, that's the thing. Pride, that's a tough one to overcome. You know, pride. You know, it's, let's see, let's look at verse 28, if we have it. So husbands ought to love his own wife as his own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Yeah, if you want to love yourself, you love your wife. That's why God says to love yourself. That's how you do it. You know, are you sure it's the Father's will? Remember, it's her father. If you're having issues with the Father's daughter, that can get pretty rough on you. You know, when you insist on your own issue, what's her father thinking? You want to answer to him? It's not good. You don't want to answer to it. I know when my granddaughter, well, you know, I have a few. I can't remember how many, but there was out there. And one of them, here the boy come to pick her up, I think to go to the prom or something. My son's there and said, come in, young man. I just want to let you know, if my daughter comes home unhappy, you're going to go home very unhappy. You may not make it home. So, you know, that's the father's attitude. So if you want to abuse your father's daughter, man, that can get pretty scary. You know, you might not make it home if you're doing that. And God, you know, God's working with you and her. So, because he's going to be looking after his daughter. Yeah. Well, our wives, we don't want our wife going to her father and saying, "Father, look what this guy's doing." Man, that, believe me, you don't want that. You can put up with a lot rather than facing your wife's father, spiritually speaking. Did I read verse 28? I'm sure I did. Husbands ought to love their own wives. Loves his wife, loves his own body. We love ourselves if we love our wife. So we need to always ask ourselves, are we sure her father will approve of what I'm doing to her or for her or against her? If we get our own way, is that worth it? What's her father going to say? Well, it's our father too, and we don't want to get him riled up, do you? No. You know, so what does he do? He roars out a Zion with a whip. You know, man, we don't want that. Yeah, when your wife goes to her heavenly father, is she cheered up like this young man? When my granddaughter come home, was she cheered up or was she unhappy? When your wife goes to his father, is she cheered up? Well, she's going to be going to him every day, right? She's going to be praying to her father. Well, I hope she's pretty happy when she goes. You know, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, talking about this verse we was talking about, says, one may constrain a servant by fear. Oh, do we want to do that? Do we want to keep the wife under control by fear? You know, because a servant can run away. That's like Toad. She can become a frog and start hopping. And we don't want that. She's the companion of your life. Think about that. God has given you a companion. Oh, believe me, that is a precious thing. She's a companion of your life. You know, just think about it. God has given you his daughter as a companion for life. I mean, how much better can it get? And I may have read this already, but I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, and I don't know if I read verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. We don't want to be comparing our wife with mama. You know, mama could do this, mama could do that. And, that could apply either way. One of my daughters on their honeymoon, it's none present here. they get married right before the feast. So, man, use the feast as a honeymoon. That's a great idea. And I think they went up in a rare hurricane, came into New York. But that year, I mean, it was blowing in the hotel. My daughter's cried, "My dad would never brought me here." Well, she don't need to say that. You know? Man, you know how he felt. By the way, they are still married. Yeah, dad would have never brought me here. Well, that's like, mom wouldn't have done that. Mom makes it this way, you know. You really don't know how to iron a shirt. Mom did it this way. Well, if he knew that much about it, he ought to iron his own shirt then, if he knew all how mom did it. But anyway, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and then let the see that the wife respects her husband. I think that's going to just come almost natural. So, my other point I wanted to bring, there's another scripture here. Don't get scared, but I'm going to turn to Song of Solomon. We're going to try to keep this adult. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, okay? No, Song of Solomon's great. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I can find it here. We're going to read about it. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 8. And I'm saying that to love your wife, you need to express yourself with words. Now, that's not always easy for a lot of men, a lot of us. You know, we don't like to get too involved with words. I can remember my dad, my mother said, "Well, Harry, you never tell me if you like the food." "Well, if I don't say anything, that means it's good." Well, you know, don't do that. You know, if I don't say anything, then it's good. So, woman, don't expect any compliments. And, you know, when I was in business, when I'd go out on a job, you know what I'd look for? What was wrong. And there could be 50 things out there going just perfect. I could find the thing that was wrong. And, you know, that thing was costing money. That was, you know, that needs to be taken care of. That's got to be fixed. And all the other good stuff, maybe I wouldn't notice. Same way with a marriage. Have all this wonderful thing a wife does. And then, what about this over here? Oh, that's not the way it should be. Okay, I think I've already read verse 32. Now we're in Song of Solomon, verse 2 and verse 8. So, you know, express your love with words. And that's not always easy. The voice of my beloved, notice the voice of my beloved, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. I mean, are husbands, are we still that excited? We're coming home. I mean, we're like a deer just jumping over the mountains. We can't hardly get there, you know, fast enough. Oh, our feet are so light. Oh, I'm going to be home with my wife. Or we come driving in, you know, had a bad day, traffic's bad. You know, we come in and I don't want to talk about it or whatever we come up with. I'm still back in the Stone Age when women were waiting at home. I know that's not possible or not very, very often anymore. But still, even if they're not, are we motivated? Are we excited? You know, we have a wife at home. Hey, that ought to get you going, but you can get used to it. Verse 8, skipping upon the hills. My beloved's like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He's looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. He's checking up. I mean, he's interested in what's going on with his wife. He cares about that. That's his concern. My beloved spoke. Notice he spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For the winter has passed, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of turtle dove is heard in our land." Or is that just an attitude of being, the wife is so precious, and he's just so happy because he's taking time to think about it. thinking about the flowers and the beautiful thing. I have just a few attaboys. This is a swan. I only got two that I could think of. But Gerald, hey, you did good here. But, you know, my wife always packed my lunch. And if I went around somewhere or if there was any roses or anything, I'd cut them and put them in my lunch pail. So when I took it back home, when she opened it, there'd be roses or something. I've really beat my brain to think about some really great things I did, and I can only think of two. That was one of them. Okay, that is 50% right there. It's not a lot to brag about, but I got to say something. I mean, I'm getting far too depressed up here. You know, I need an attaboy once in a while. So just remember, you know, to express yourself. And it may be, if you can't do it in words, you could do it things like that. You know, and my wife just was thrilled about that. You know, she didn't expect much. So that was a pretty big deal. You know? So, you know, she appreciated that. And if you're not good with words, there's other things you can do, but you need to practice on words. You know, I've been practicing with my daughters. I was never a, I love you. Oh, sweetie, I'm so glad to see you, and hugging and all that. My wife was. So I thought, I'll just let her take care of that, and I won't get involved in it. But, you know, I did. One of my daughters in Texas, the first time she called and I said, I love you, she said she cried on the phone. I mean, that's pretty pitiful, isn't it? I mean, that's not pitiful, that's awful. But I can justify it. Because I said, well, I never heard my parents ever say I love you, but I knew they did. Well, I never heard my parents say I love you to each other, let alone the kids, but I knew they did. But dude, we don't leave it that way. Don't do that. And another point I had was put your wife before yourself. That's how you love her. You know, Christ did. He emptied himself of all the glory that he had in the universe. For who? For his bride. For us. That's where it said way back in Genesis. It said, husbands, leave your father and mother. You know, and then we come up with all these things comparing her. You know, my mother didn't cook that way or whatever. No, we're supposed to leave that. Mom and dad, good. Respect mom and dad, but I've got a family now. Wives also, you know, just keep that in mind too. You don't want to play that game either toward your husband. Put your wife first. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let's see if I'm in Philippians 2. I'm in 3, I think. Philippians 2, and here's some things to keep in mind. Here's how to treat your wife, basically with humility. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Oh, if you could get rid of that. It says, let nothing be done. And this is talking to just generally people, how you deal with people. If that's how you're supposed to deal with people, that'd be especially true for your wife. I mean, that's the best people you have. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Oh, if married couples could get that down. Esteem the other better than themselves. Let each one of you, verse 4, look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. And you can say the interest of your wife. Because it said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held onto, but he willingly gave up the glory of the God family. And he gave up being equal with God. He didn't feel that it was something to hang on to. And as husbands, I mean, we just got to hang on to the pride. We got to hang on to, you know, I'm the man, I'm the boss. Well, that's maybe all true, but what's the attitude behind it? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. And it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ did. So these are examples. Coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Well, if the God, the Word that created the earth could humble himself, I would think that we could humble ourselves. Only with God's help, I know. And become obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And of course, God highly exalted him for that kind of conduct. You know, we don't need the conceit. I'm the man, you must obey me. First time I heard that was from my uncle as a kid. He said, you must obey me. I mean, guys, if you got to say that, you already lost it. You already lost the battle if you got to resort to that. If you have to say that, then I'm sorry. You got to do a lot of making up. Verse 4, maybe I read that. Not for his own interest, but the interest of others. That would include your wife. And, of course, especially your wife. Because Christ emptied himself. And a husband is to empty himself for that wife. You know, are you willing to give up your own glory for her? Christ did. He gave up. He emptied the glory. So, let's see. I would like to go back to chapter 2. Maybe I'm already there. Verse 1 and 2. I didn't read that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my love by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord with one mind. And then it goes on, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It says each. So this applies to the wife also, which most all of it does in some way. But as the husband, we are hopefully setting the stage, setting the trend, because how we respond to a wife affects how they respond greatly. You know, if we kind of got we're just kind of angry and negative, they're going to be that way. That's not cheering them up. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Where is that? Colossians chapter 3, there, the next book over, verse 11. Colossians 3, verse 11. Let's see what this says. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. This is just why I think, not saying I'm totally right, but I think that's easier for women to do than men. Maybe not. But it seemed like they just more naturally are able to be tender and merciful and kind and meek. But here, this applies to men. Same as to women. So I think men maybe are going to struggle with this more. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Oh my, forgiving. When you forgive, don't you forget, or are you going to bring it up later? Yeah, you know, last time, I remember when you did that. And, you know, maybe it's long gone. That's, you know, same thing. When God forgives us, well, hopefully we don't keep bringing it up. Lord, you know what I did then. Yeah. Well, you forgave me of it. So if we're forgiving, then we need to be forgiving. Let it go. As the elect of God, holy and blessed, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another, there in verse 13. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgive you, so you also must do. So if you got a complaint, you're going to have to be able to forgive. And if you're having an issue, you said that. No, I didn't say that. I said this. No, you said that. No, I didn't. Okay. You going to make an issue out of that? Or are you going to let it go? You know, you going to bear with one another? You going to forgive? Do you actually think that your wife has done more against you than you have done against Christ? Oh, if you do, you're living off here in la-la land somewhere. You know, get back to reality, guys. No, she hasn't done more against you than you've already done against Christ. What do you want Christ to do? You want Christ to keep bringing it up? Or you want to be forgiven? You know, let peace rule, verse 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. It says rule in your heart. Peace. You willing to make peace? To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word, in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Okay, if you got to correct your wife, sing it to her, you know, a jolly song. Oh, honey, you're so great, but I don't like this. You know, do something. Well, maybe I'll do special music something. You don't see. If you got to criticize, maybe you can sing it out. Well, if I would do that, there wouldn't be much criticism in the house, would there? Because I'm not going to be singing it out, or somebody'd call the police. But where am I? No, I wanted to go to Philippians again. And verse 2, I don't know, I hope I'm not repeating these scriptures too many times. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Do it without complaining and disputing. Oh boy, you can jump on that one and work on it for a while, probably. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God. That's always keep that in mind, that the wife and the husband are children of God. without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Man, we need to shine that way. Mm-hmm. You know, in a world that is so getting more and more corrupt and more of a God hater. So I want to turn over to Philippians, same book, chapter 4, in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. So you're going to be thinking about your wife, right? So why don't we think about the good instead of the things that she has done, you know? Well, she really knows how to push my buttons, you know? And so I'm, you know, you might say, oh, she makes me so mad, I'll get back at her. Oh, don't start that. That's a circle that has no end. Just goes, keeps on and on. No, you don't want to allow that to get into your mind, that you're going to retaliate over something like that. So I was reading in Philippians, wasn't I? In verse 2, did I read 14 and 15? But nevertheless, verse 14, you have done well that you shared in my distress. No, I probably don't need that. I don't know where I've got that from, but I didn't need it. Oh, I'm probably in the wrong chapter. See if I've read that in chapter 2. Yeah, I was going to Philippians 4:8. That's where I'm going. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are good, try to think on these. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, start thinking about that. Surely you can find something praiseworthy and with virtue. No. And in back to Ephesians chapter 4. I think I'm running out of time. Ephesians chapter 4:8 are probably already out of time. Ephesians chapter 4:8, therefore he says, no, that's not what I want, is it? 4:31, let all bitterness, can you do that? And wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away? Can you let the bitterness go? Can you just let it go? And put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Oh, that can be a tough one, can't it? Forgiving one another, even as God, that's what you got to remember, even as God in Christ forgave you. Makes it a lot easier to forgive if you start thinking about what God has done and the forgiving he has done. You know, all that, oh yeah, she really upsets me, and you know, don't start that getting even stuff. So men, love your wife and cheer them up. I don't know just how you'll do that, but I know you can think of some way of doing it, right? I mean, you're so smart and you're so wise, and being the head of the house, you can think of some way of cheering her up. Whatever way that you can do it. And the Bible gives plenty of examples, doesn't it? If you have issues, make them a positive issue. Look for something positive. Let it go. If she makes this mistake, you can say, well, I've told you about that. I knew you was going to do that. Yeah, that's the way you are, you know. No. If she makes a mistake, she doesn't need more hammering, does she? Bang, 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 you know. Get her down, just drive her in the ground then. Oh, I told you was going to do that. Oh, that feels good to do it. But that's awful. It's not good. She doesn't need that. If you can't agree, then be silent. We used to always say in business when we were you know, negotiating, talking, that usually the last guy speaking loses. You know, you make a statement. Well, that is right. And the other guy just keeps rattling on. He finally backs himself in a corner. And, you know, let it go if you can't agree. And love her heart. Use the words like we read. You know, love what she is inside. You know, love her heart. If God has called her, that's very precious. If he's not, there's her heart. And you need to love that. Love her heart with words. Convince her she's the most important person on earth. You think you can do that? Can you convince her of that? You're the most important person on earth. It's to me as a husband. I don't know if she's the most important person on earth, but to you, that's what she is. That you value her above everything else, as far as everyone else. Of course, love your wife and cheer her up. Provide her physical needs. Be complimentary. You know, what's wrong with a compliment? It's great. It'll do some fantastic things. Think about her spiritual good. And never forget that she's our Father's daughter. And, you know, that carries a lot of weight. Don't allow children to disrespect her. This is the other attaboy that I could think of. I got to give myself one more attaboy. I've checked. I only had two. And this is the other one. I never allowed my children to disrespect my wife. If they wanted to get in trouble, they just need to catch me doing that. And they were in bad trouble. Okay, that's my two attaboys. So I could use some praise for that. But that's what I didn't allow that. No, you don't disrespect your mom. Mm-mm. Be tender to her failures. You know, she's a gift, even if she is not perfect. She's not going to be perfect. I'll tell you that. There's no lady perfect or no husband. And I'd just say finally is love her maker. Think about it. You know, God created man from the dust, but he created the woman from the man. She wasn't made from the dust. She was made from the man's own flesh. So love her maker. The more you love God, the better you'll be able to love her. So love your wife and cheer her up.